Welcome to episode 372 of The Lab. I'm Brad Barton.
I'm Phil Barton.
This is one in our continuing series on astronomy and astrophysics. If you'd like to catch the other episodes, you can find them by visiting thelabwithbrad.com.
It's a beautiful website.
Hey,
I go there all the time.
Yes, no episode next week.
Nice.
It's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
And I didn't really do this on purpose, but coincidentally, we're talking about how things are born.
Oh.
Meaning stars.
Wait, no, this is all a plan.
Yeah. They're a little bigger than me.
Right.
Yeah, and most of them are a little older than me. You know, a few months.
Yeah.
One way or the other.
Okay.
Where do stars come from?
There's a stork, I believe. And...
The little known stork constellation. There's its bag.
You're right.
There's its beak.
When a mommy and a daddy. Anyways.
It all starts with the interstellar medium.
Okay.
Which is a fancy name for everything that's between the stars.
Oh.
Instead of around them.
Cool.
Mostly gas, mm-hmm. About 99% of it. About 1% is dust.
Ah.
Although, occasionally rocks come through our solar system that came from outside of our solar system.
Mm-hmm.
And like when you get like a 12-kilometer-long rock, is that still dust?
Well, in the cosmic sense, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. That stuff tends to clump up.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It's not so much gravity as electromagnetic effects.
Really?
On that scale. And sometimes the radiation pressure from nearby stars.
Uh-huh.
Dust, yeah, by itself, is easy to move.
Yeah.
And then we have molecular clouds.
Okay.
So most of this interstellar medium is hot,
yeah,
and ionized,
ah,
or showing up as monatomic hydrogen.
Ah, monatomic.
But in the molecular clouds,
yes,
things have gotten cool enough for molecules to form.
Ah.
Mostly H2.
Mm, okay.
Interstellar medium in general, the gas is 99% hydrogen,
mm-hmm,
about 8.9% helium,
uh-huh,
and 0.1% everything else.
Okay.
With a heavy slant towards carbon, nitrogen, and oxygen.
Okay.
In those molecular clouds, things are a little thicker.
Yeah.
And that's where the stars are born.
Aha.
Because it's cool enough and dense enough to do that.
Nice.
They take up about 1% the volume of our galaxy.
Oh.
But have about half the gas and dust that's inside the orbit of our sun.
Huh.
So it's a good chunk of mass,
mm-hmm,
but a small area.
Gotcha.
Almost like they're turning into stars or something.
Right?
The Milky Way is estimated to have about 6,000 giant molecular clouds,
mm-hmm,
with about 10,000 to 10 million solar masses worth of stuff.
Okay.
There seems to be an interesting correlation between how hot they are and what kind of stars they make.
Oh, okay.
Smaller, darker, cooler ones tend to make smaller stars.
Oh.
Whereas the large, somewhat hotter giant molecular clouds make stars of every conceivable size.
Oh, including small stars.
Yes, and large ones.
Oh.
They're also what they call Bok globules, which is a neat name.
Yeah.
Anywhere from tens to hundreds of solar masses.
Cool.
Relatively small. And also cool. Yes. Those tend to form binary or trinary systems when they form anything at all.
Well, okay.
About 450 to 460 light years away from here,
mm-hmm,
is the closest area that is making stars right now.
Oh.
With an amazing name. Rho Ophiuchi Cloud Complex.
Wow. Wait, wasn't there something called a nursery?
Is a stellar nursery. Mostly, it's a sort of complex of absorption nebula,
uh-huh,
that are sort of hanging out. 1,300 light years away, we have the Orion Nebula.
Hey.
Inside these nebula,
mm-hmm,
they often see filaments.
Okay.
Now, they're not quite sure why things move how they are.
Mm-hmm.
They know all the candidates, but it gets chaotic. Because, the light from outside is pushing it around. The magnetic forces inside is pushing it around.
Various
clumps of matter are dragging it here and there.
Gotcha.
But these filaments tend to form little clumps along their length. They actually kind of look like a beaded necklace, sort of. They called it quasi-periodical.
Okay.
It's almost evenly spaced, but not really. Those can end up in hydrostatic equilibrium.
Yes.
What that means is that there is enough energy in there to balance its gravitational self-attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And presumably it could sit there for millions or billions of years without changing much.
Huh.
Except dust clouds don't seem to last that long. I meant to mention, by the way, you know where most of those molecular gas clouds are hanging out?
Where?
Right where the spiral arms are.
Oh.
You know, where most of the stars are being made.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So something kicks off the collapse.
Okay.
Sometimes a couple of clouds bump into each other.
Whoops.
Or maybe there's a new nearby supernova that sprays a bunch of crap at it.
It's like a shotgun blast.
Well, yeah. It makes supernovas kind of funny because they are the funeral pyre of an old star.
Yeah.
And they kick off new star formation.
So it's very
religious. They also have made some of the youngest objects we have observed out there in the starry sky, which we talked about on Monday. Our sponsors include Stupid Questions, Wrong Answers, and The Dog That Ate Your Homework.
It was a good dog. Died from paper poisoning.
Yeah. I mean, is it an accident or is he like, here, doggy, eat this.
Please help me.
That gets harder. What, did he chunk down your laptop or something?
Just spray it with bacon grease. It'll be fine. Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we're talking about how stars are born this week. But I thought I'd revisit how old stars are and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that.
For starters, the estimated age of the universe is 13.7, 13.77, or possibly 13.8 billion years old.
Ah.
I have actually heard over 14 billion before, but I just looked it up today, and those are the numbers everybody seems excited about. Which is funny because the oldest known star at first was estimated to be older than that.
Oh, yeah. Well, how do you?
HD140283. Nicknamed Methuselah.
Ah.
It is only 190 light years away or so.
Ah, not bad.
And when they first tried to guess how old it was, they got 16 billion.
Okay.
Which is right out. So they took the Hubble and pointed it at it again and hashed their numbers again and got 14 billion.
Okay.
That's still a little older than we think the universe is, but the error bars overlap now.
We did a little bad math in this part.
And close enough, yeah, right?
Right?
When you're looking for young stars, I actually looked up what's the youngest known main sequence star.
Okay.
And got no answer. Apparently, new stars are happening all the time. There might be a brand new main sequence star that just got born today. We don't know.
Right? And then it takes a while to see it anyway.
Yeah,
right?
they tend to be shrouded in sort of like their baby blanket of dust and gas. Baby.
I like this. Yeah.
But they have found clusters of new star formation, sort of blobs they think will become stars or are protostars, less than a million years old.
Okay.
So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing you can do is look for stellar remnants, what used to be a star.
Okay.
Because in a way, they're the corpse of the grand star that was there before. In a way, they're a brand new thingy.
Oh.
We actually talked about this already, about the 1054 AD supernova, which created the Crab Nebula, and the pulsar in the middle of it.
Right.
Both of which are less than 1,000 years old.
Mm.
But there are younger thingies. Cassiopeia A was the winner, a 330-year-old supernova remnant.
Oh. Hmm.
Very young.
Yeah.
But recently, they found what they think might be a less than 40-year-old.
Really?
Yeah. In 1987, they saw a supernova in a satellite galaxy.
Okay.
It's about 170,000 light years away.
Okay.
So quite a bit further.
Yeah.
And by the way, when we're talking about it being less than 40 years old, we mean since we can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the speed of light being slow, you have to add another 170,000 years to the actual age.
Yeah.
But they saw the supernova, and then they went back, and they found this hot blob of dust and gas.
Ooh.
They can't quite tell for certain, but they think there's a neutron star inside the thing. For one thing, when a supernova happens, the stellar remnant can get a kick.
Okay, yeah.
And they expected that supernova to give that remnant a certain kick.
Mm-hmm.
And the hot blob of gas is about where they'd expect it to be.
It's nice when things line up.
Yeah, isn't it? It's also glowing,
mm-hmm.
which is right in line with the suggested surface temperature of 5 million Celsius.
Wow.
Warm.
So many marshmallows.
This old stellar remnant, mm-hmm. 36 years old or so, is still hidden behind its dust and gas.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to have to wait a while to find out for sure.
Somebody yank off the blanket.
First thing I have to mention is that I was wrong about the baby blanket.
Oh, I really like that. Dang it.
At least for stars that are around the same size as our sun.
Mm-hmm.
They start clumping, mm-hmm. start shrinking, and as they do, they tend to heat up.
Yes.
You're taking the same energy and pushing it into a smaller and smaller volume that raises the temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, as it gets thicker,
mm-hmm.
it becomes opaque.
Mm.
And specifically, not just to us, but to the kind of radiation it was using to dump the heat.
Oh.
So it sort of stops squishing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But then the dust heats up and starts shining in the far infrared,
oh.
which the gas cloud is transparent to.
Okay.
So that's allowing the heat out, but indirectly. First you heat up the dust, and then it dumps the heat.
Okay.
So we're still squishing.
Squish.
You get a central part,
uh-huh.
a core that is in hydrostatic equilibrium, or very close to it.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually that will ionize the gas.
Uh-huh.
So it's not H2 around there anymore.
Oh.
And that actually allows some more of the electromagnetic spectrum to shine out. And let it cool off.
Okay.
More shrinking.
Oh, man.
Then the dust and gas that didn't get into the star clump
mm-hmm.
will come in. And they're not sure why. But it does. It spirals in and it hits the center. They can tell because it's not a smooth process. There are little bursts of X-rays and gamma rays when this happens.
Okay.
Then, for reasons not entirely understood, a couple of jets will form. Coming out more or less at the poles of the almost star.
Uh-huh.
And that dumps it's almost evaporation, and then it's throwing material away, and it's taking the energy away.
Okay.
But it's not really. Quasi-evaporation.
Okay. That's a good name for it, then. Huh.
Eventually, the baby blanket is gone.
Oh.
And that, my friends, is a protostar.
Mm-hmm.
It continues to get some stuff falling in from the circumstellar disk.
That thing.
Yes, it's a little ring of crap.
Technical terms.
Around the baby star, also sometimes called a protoplanetary disk, because presumably
right. That's
where the planets get made.
Yeah, give it time.
Then we get to the pre-main sequence star.
Hey.
It is almost the size it's going to be for the part of its lifetime it's going to spend most of its lifetime in.
Uh-huh.
But it's still shining because of gravitational collapse.
Right.
Not because of fusion.
Oh, okay.
And then it hits a point where it's fusing some deuterium, which slows the collapse, but does not stop it.
Uh-huh.
There's also a lithium burning process that goes on. Eventually, the hydrogen starts turning into helium.
Aha!
And everything gets settled out.
Okay.
And you shine away. This all fits well for smaller stars.
Okay.
You get into larger stars and things get a little hinky.
Oh.
And for a long time, they thought larger stars would start to collapse and then heat up.
Mm-hmm.
From gravitational collapse and then tear themselves apart.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not really sure how these large stars dump enough heat to turn into a star.
Huh.
There's some guesses. Maybe those jets do a lot of cooling.
Those jets are weird. Okay.
Yeah, and they've also seen cases where those jets punched holes in the surrounding cloud.
Whoa.
So the jets are going away and it can shine through those holes
to
help it collapse.
Okay.
The supernova is not the only trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you get jets of material. We're back to jets.
Yay.
Around supermassive black holes.
Oh.
Those are very strong. And it's funny because they kind of cook off most of the gas that would make stars,
Oh. Which
sort of inhibits it.
Yeah.
But those jets of material tend to clump up and make new stars.
What is going on? Okay.
Black holes has this thing of doing both
right?
at once. It's just a thing. Then there are galaxies that have lost most of their cold gas, and their star-making epoch seems to be over.
Oh.
But then they merge with another galaxy, which could trigger a whole new epoch of star formation.
Huh.
So, we're talking about what galaxies do.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make you wonder where they came from?
Oh, the galaxies?
Yes.
We'll
talk about that.
Thank God.
Next time. See you then.
Bye.